Howdy, neighbors. Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today. Daryl Peel joining us today as we talk about cattle on feed numbers in just a moment.
The commodities markets are an integral part of the U.S. economy. Each business day, futures contracts trade in the energy, financial, and agricultural markets. Hi, I'm Curtis Ward, president of KIS Futures. Our firm executes futures and options and provides risk management strategies for our clients who hedge. Our team also provides full-service brokerage while offering free quotes and charts, free market reports, market text messages, futures market tutorials, and real-time account information. For more information about our trading services, give us a call at 1-800-256-2555 or log on to our website at kisfutures.com.
Did you know dairy cows have regular checkups with doctors just like you? Hi, I'm Leanne Vanderlaan, a proud dairy farmer from Oklahoma. Each month, our veterinarian visits our family dairy to make sure the cows are healthy and happy. Because happy and healthy cows produce the best milk and dairy foods for your family and mine. Learn more about our commitment to cow care at dairydiscoveryzone.com.
We're talking today with Extension Livestock Market Economist Dr. Daryl Peel. Daryl, latest cattle on feed report is out. Run through the numbers for us.
You bet. The August USDA cattle on feed report has July placements at 91.9% of last year, marketings at 95.5% of last year, and that gives us an August 1 on feed total of 98.1% of last year. So these numbers are pretty close to expectations. Both the placements and marketings are slightly below the average, but within the range of estimates.
And the trends, especially on the placements, seem to be suggesting tighter numbers ahead, Daryl.
Yeah, that's right. We finally worked through the peak numbers, a little bit of cattle cycle history. So we peaked in 2019. That should have given us a peak in the feeder supplies in 2020 and coming through the feedlots. But because of the disruptions last year, we pushed that into the first half of this year. And so that's been part of the struggle in fed cattle markets in the first half of 2021. But we're through that now, and we are making progress seasonally. But even when it rebuilds in the fall of the year, we won't rebuild to last year's level. So we're going to continue to see tightening numbers.
Those tightening numbers, we've been anticipating those for a while. And with those tightening numbers, what are better prices?
Absolutely. The fed cattle market has been capped all year because we did bunch up these cattle and we've been up against the capacity constraint. And so, we haven't moved fed cattle prices much for the last 20 weeks or so. But we're really close to that now. I think general expectations are within the next week or two, 3 weeks, we will see start to see this fed cattle market show a little strength. And we're seasonally, we should be at the low of the year, but we're really poised to see this market pick up really from here on through the rest of the year, starting just any time now.
I know that anecdotally, hearing the fact that even on the pickup of cattle that are being bought right now, there's packers are starting to pick them up a little quicker. Everything's pointing to maybe finally seeing a little bit of currentness in this market for the first time in what, forever?
It has taken a long time to get here, and that's often the case. Once you get backed up, it's a long process. But yeah, all the signals are that we are making currentness. What you hear in the country, again, the cattle on feed numbers certainly support that. The dressed weights support the idea that we're getting more current. We pulled these dressed weights down on a year-over-year basis. And again, even though they're increasing seasonally into the second part of the year, which typically we do, but they're below year-ago levels. And so we're definitely making some progress in this fed cattle market.
Last time we talked, of course, was at the Cattle Industry Convention in Nashville. At that point, lots of talk about and chewing a little bit more over these mid-year inventory numbers, anticipating that that January 1st beef cow number nationally will be down, several hundred thousand? Is that realistic?
Well, I think so. I mean, it definitely will be down. I think we still got a little ways to go to figure out just how much down it will be. Beef cow slaughter has been elevated for the last, really all year, but especially in the last 3 months or so. And we know the drought is causing some additional liquidation. We don't really know how much yet because we normally would liquidate a lot of cows in the fall of the year in terms of normal culling. And some of the early drought type culling that we're seeing may just be early fall culling. And so we have to really wait until closer to the end of the year to know how much additional drought culling we've had. But the bottom line is the numbers are going to be down, and the drought's probably making us move that number down even more than we would have otherwise.
You were telling me as we started having this conversation that you've just wrapped up speaking to a group of California cattle producers. What's the attitude out on the West Coast? I mean, obviously, they're not in the center of the drought, but they've faced a lot of drought problems themselves here in 2021.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, this group that I visited, I'm in Southern California, and this is the cattle feeders, which tend to be centered in the southern part of the country. And so this is the area where they feed a lot of these Holstein calves. A lot of the talk now is on the, you know, these crossbred calves, the Holstein beef crosses, and the implications of how to raise those animals and the implications that they're going to have in our market going forward. So that's a lot of the talk, but certainly the drought is a factor, particularly up in the northern part of the state, as a part of the broader drought areas in the West. And so that's you know, clearly one of the topics of conversation right now, as well as the wildfires, I should point out.
You know, you mentioned the crosses. I saw some stuff, several things on that from Sarah Place and others here recently. Is this going to really, kind of change kind of the product that we're getting from these animals? Obviously, a dairy beef cross should maybe produce a different kind of a carcass.
It really does, and that's going to be the major impact here is, you know, these calves are different. They're going to have a higher quality carcass in a general sense. Now, dairy calves, you know, they normally grade really well. We get a lot of prime carcasses out of Holstein calves. But these crossbred calves have heavier muscling. We're going to get some overall better conformation in these carcasses. And so that's going to have some impacts in the market. Now, one of the things that you hear occasionally is, whoa, we're getting all these crossbred calves. That really changes animal numbers. And, of course, it really doesn't, because we've had the Holstein calves all along. We're just changing the way they look these days. So the numbers aren't changing, but the type of animals they are and the more subtle impacts of the quality of those carcasses and the composition of the overall supply of beef is going to change somewhat.
OSU livestock market economist Daryl Peel. You've got the Beef Buzz on Ron.
If you ever find yourself in a dispute, don't forget about the Oklahoma Ag Mediation Program. The Oklahoma Ag Mediation Program has been helping people in agriculture resolve conflicts since 1987. Their professional mediators can help farmers and ranchers and federal agencies work together to reach a good solution without getting into the courts. So the next time a conflict comes up with lease issues or family farm transitions, neighbor disputes, or anything else that might need a mediator, give Oklahoma Ag Mediation a call at 800-248-5465 or go to ok.gov/mediation.
And that's your Beef Buzz. I'm Ron Hayes.